You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show.
Hello, hello, Oncers. Bing is for doing, and we are doing another after show right here, right now on AfterBuzz TV for Once Upon a Time, Season 2, Episode 11, titled The Outsider. I'm your host, Kathy Kelly, and I'm going to let my co-hosts introduce themselves. Two out of four of us are sick tonight. I'm going to let you guess which ones.
Coming up first is Tiana Hodson.
And hi, everyone. I'm Marissa Serafini.
And I'm Corey Take, and I'm going to give you a hint. Red is good today.
And black and white and gray.
Yes. So we are all here to power through the show. I'm so glad we all made it because it was intense. I mean, the last 5 minutes were...
What
just happened? Yeah.
I think there was actual yells that came out of all of our mouths. Like, what?
For those of us that could yell.
Yeah, for those of us who could yell. Yeah, sadly.
Yeah. So let's get this episode kicked off, or the after show kicked off, with all of the characters in Storybrooke. They seem to be homesick in today's episode. They were all feeling, you know, the loss of Archie, or they think it's the loss of Archie. They were all at his funeral, and... It was a very somber, you know, moment for everyone. You really saw that they were coming together as a community, but they all also wanted to go home. And I think, you know, the dwarfs even said it later in the episode. They were like, we want to, you know, get back to to Enchanted Forest. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, they realized that, you know, they think that they're safe in Storybrooke because there wasn't supposed to be magic there. There's clearly magic there now. Regina has, or so everyone thinks, you know, it's not as safe as they thought because now Regina has killed Archie. So, you know, they're not safe here. They're not safe in the Enchanted Forest. So why not go to where you at least feel comfortable, to your home? If you're going to live in fear, you might as well be around, like...
But, you know, like, David has a good point where, you know, the Enchanted Forest is not the Enchanted Forest that it used to be. Mm-hmm. So that's something that they have to think about. And, of course, they're scared of people coming in.
Yeah.
So.
Which
happens at the end of the episode. Oh, my gosh.
I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I'll wait for that part to talk about that.
But maybe it was because... now that everyone's in Storybrooke and that there is magic, maybe they believe that they have a better chance of going back because they have magic to help them to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like it's one of those things where even though Snow and Emma are telling them, hey, it's not what it used to be, mm-hmm. it's not there anymore, it's one of those things that you can tell me that, but until I see it for myself, yeah. I'm not going to necessarily believe how bad it really is, because in my mind, I just want to get there. I want to get there, and I'm still imagining this place. And it's like, oh, okay, like, sure, things are a little off, big deal, but they don't realize the extent of how bad it actually is over there.
And I'm sure they think that they can restore it somehow, yeah. which we don't know if that's the case yet. But I mean, you saw the loss and, you know, all the heartbreak during this episode. And it gets to the point where Charming and Snow are kind of discussing their fate and what they want to do mm-hmm. moving forward. And, David says, he was just like, I don't want to die here.
Yeah.
Like he sees all of this death around him and he's like, I don't want to die in Storybrooke. I want to go back home. Like, I understand what all these other people are saying.
Yeah, and the Enchanted Forest, that is their original home, and you want to go back.
I mean, but they have, I totally understand what they're saying, the homesick thing, but it's going to be, it's not their home anymore. Their home is a past. It's never going to be the same again, no matter how they twist it, what they make of the new place, even if they get back there. There's going to be different kind of magic, different kind of heroes.
Even without Regina there to kind of be the bad news bear.
They've adjusted pretty well to Storybrooke, mm-hmm. I think, and I understand the scare of Archie being dead and new things coming in, but
at the same time, I feel like, you know, for people, I mean, in the real world, it's, if you leave your home, you know that you can either, I mean, even if you can't go back, you know that it was a choice. For them, they were forced to go there. They had no choice, and they just kind of, like, you know, in one instant ended up in a new land. Mm-hmm. And okay. So they want to go back because they it wasn't their choice to leave. And I mean, Snow said at one point in the episode, she's like, I kind of imagine, like, our house together, you know, her charming Emma and Henry. She said, I kind of imagine our house being one with turrets.
Yeah.
The American dream.
No more white picket fence. They want turrets and a moat.
Going from a castle to a regular home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it'll definitely be interesting to see throughout the next couple weeks if they do try to go back to mm-hmm. Enchanted Forest and salvage what's left there. But that is another unanswered question, I guess.
Yeah.
As to what they're
going
to do.
It's just never going to be the same.
I feel like they're trying to live in the past.
Exactly.
And, you know, you have, like, that one great year of college. And you're like, man, you know, next year's going to be the same. And you try to, like, recreate that one party. And you just can never do it again.
That's totally what I'm thinking about. Like, you go visit your college that you went to and... Like, you know, I went to Berkeley, and I go back to Berkeley, and I'm like, this is not the same anymore. Now I see them as hippies again. So it's just, it's never the same.
Yeah.
It's like the law of diminishing return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's like sometimes you just gotta try to move on in the situation that you have and make the best of that moment. Mm-hmm. And because they're so focused on wanting to get back to the way things were instead of just living in the way things are.
And going
And going with it. They're kind of missing out on being able to live in, like, this new world with each other and mm-hmm. figuring, like, that's a new adventure. And I thought that, you know, fairy tale characters, they're all about adventure.
And they can't even really appreciate each other at mm-hmm. this point.
At this point. I mean, because you see... Snow and Prince Charming kind of having their first little lovers quarrel, reunited quarrel about, you know, the living situation where, you know, like, oh, are you going to say no to every house that I point out because there's the yard's
that
not big enough?
That would be rough, though. Four people in one bathroom, never a fun situation.
No, never fun. But, you know, you see them kind of like, yeah, well, we want to find this and arguing over, you know, where they should be instead of just being happy to be all together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that issue remains unresolved mm-hmm. as of yet. But then there's also another issue. Henry is really feeling the loss of Archie, and he's upset because that was one of his best friends. He had to go to therapy there for how many years?
Like his whole life.
Yeah, pretty much his whole life. And, you know, he really felt for Archie. That was one of his best friends. And, you know, he's expressing this to Emma. And in return, Emma brings home Pongo. What did you guys think of that? Is that like I feel like it was a really maternal moment on her end.
Yeah,
it was a very, like, typical, like, kid crying, let me give you a dog feeling. And I'm very sensitive about dogs. Like, can this kid take care of a dog? Dogs are important people, you know?
And that one's the main guy from 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. So.
I liked it. It was sweet, you know? And who was going to take care of Pongo if not Henry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a good move on her. It was very maternal. I agree. I like how, you know, she was kind of like, I know to Snow and Charming, she was like, sorry, I know there's still a lot to work out about this. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't really talk to you about it, but, you know, we'll figure it out. I just didn't want to see him sad anymore. And it's like, oh, what do? You go give a kid a gift and you make them happy for
as long as he treats the dog well, which I think he will. Yeah. That's fine.
And, well, okay. He doesn't really have that. I guess Archie came back, but, I feel like it wasn't just a gift, but it was also a reminder of his friend, which made it that much more special.
Yeah.
So, as I just mentioned and gave away, Archie showed up at the door, which was this amazing moment where they were all reunited. He told them all about Cora's plan and how she was actually the one that captured him, not Regina. So they exiled Regina for no reason. But
I love how Emma was like, someone should tell our... I think Henry said someone should tell Regina to let her know. And then Emma was like, yeah, I think we're all going to have to pay for that one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, Mama's going to be angry. Right.
But she's not exiled, right? She just...
Well, she disappeared in last episode.
It's more like self-exile.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wondering whether she will forgive them or whether she truly is broken and will, you know, be teaming up with Cora in the future.
What's Once Upon a Time with no broken Regina, then?
Yeah. I don't know, like, because that, you know, Regina, that whole situation did just happen last week, fairly recent, so she might be in that vulnerable state where she's like, yeah, I'll forgive you, you know, to make myself feel better.
And but last week was only, like, yesterday for them. Right.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. I was going to say.
This is all really, like, a very short span.
A day or two.
Period. Yeah, right. It's been...
So there is that, you know, short moment where she could go back, you know, she and does. Accept their apology.
Yeah.
But then what will Cora do all by herself?
Regina. Maybe we can just defeat her and, like, get rid of her.
I mean, the hope is that Regina still loves Henry very much. And if Henry goes back to her side, that might be her salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope.
Crossing our fingers and our toes.
I root for Regina and I even root for Rumple at this point, but...
That was weird. Yeah, that was. A turning point for where we were all rooting for Rumple at the end of the thing. Crazy. Okay, well, we're going to get to that in a little bit. Before we move on to our next topic, I just want to quickly mention, if you're not watching us live, if you're not watching us on YouTube, then please subscribe to us on iTunes and also rate and comment because we really love your feedback, whether it's good or bad. We're always trying to improve the shows. We got some amazing comments this past week. One from, I'm going to butcher this name because it was spelled a little weird. I think it's Black and White M or Black and White EM. she said a really nice comment. And then Zach in Alaska said that he loves a podcast and thinks that they might incorporate the Little Mermaid into the storyline. And then he also said that if we didn't think about it already, the fish in last week's episode, so episode 10, could have been Flounder if they do incorporate Little Mermaid. Which I think is cool. We've always said that they're going to incorporate Little Mermaid at some point. They've had references to mermaids in the past. And then I know you were mentioning the squid ink from a couple episodes ago.
So. I don't know, squid ink, Ursula, she wasn't quite a squid, but an octopus is kind of...
Yeah.
Oh, tentacles.
Nautical.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point over the next... If it's not this season, the next season or the season after, we'll... I'm assuming they'll get
we'll get
renewed.
To everyone in time. Don't worry about it.
Definitely. So please subscribe to us on iTunes and also tell a friend because that's how we grow here at AfterBuzz and are able to bring you all of this free content. We have over 60 shows for the winter lineup.
Ooh,
so
yes, we do.
If you're a fan of any other shows, also check out AfterBuzz's iTunes and you can see a ton of other shows. Pretty much everything is on there. So definitely go check them out.
Yeah. And we also got a really, really nice user email this week. Her name was Joan, and she wrote to us just saying, you know, that she loved our podcast and she had some mixed feelings about Regina, and she thinks that Lana Parrilla is playing the role just so great, which I think we all agree with, where you actually really do feel like you don't know how to feel for Regina because everyone's kind of on that emotional roller coaster with her of like, I like her and then I don't like her. And so it was a very nice email that we got. So thank you for that, Joan.
Yeah. And we're always looking to keep the conversation going, whether it's on our YouTube page, in the comment section, or on Twitter. So make sure you hit us up, and we will respond to you.
Yeah, we always respond.
And another thing for Twitter, NavC1409, she mentioned about the Dreamcatchers last week, maybe Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that, too.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, Pocahontas, we never saw Dreamcatchers in that.
I feel like it was alluded to.
Alluded, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Think of Colors of the Wind, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Dreams. Dreams are just floating around in the wind.
Exactly. But
that's another thing.
Okay. So back to tonight's episode. Let's get into, we're having a coughing attack over here.
That's me.
Yep. Belle's backstory. So, you know, we've gotten a little bit of backstory with Belle and saw how she, you know, got to know the Beast and fell in love with him originally. Of course, we're talking about Rumpelstiltskin. And now we go even further into her backstory. And this is post-breakup with the Beast, when she's really finding herself.
Yeah, pre-getting captured by Regina.
Right.
Exactly. And which was a couple episodes ago, right?
Yeah.
So, Belle's backstory is, it starts with the townspeople, and they're in a pub getting together to kill this beast, which it, they call a Yaogwai?
Yaogwai?
Yeah. Okay.
Like it's a Chinese beast.
Yeah.
it means
demon.
Oh, it means demon.
Yeah, I found that on Wikipedia today.
You go, girl.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to learn something.
It looks like a demon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly.
So, Belle says that she doesn't really want to adventure anymore. She's talking to Grumpy, actually, before he was Grumpy.
Right.
And he's talking about how he's going to run away with the fairy and that she should find her own adventure, too. And she even says, last time I faced a beast, it didn't end well. But she gains her courage back and decides to go along on this hunt to kill the Yaogwai, which I feel like I'm mispronouncing it every single time.
But I felt like some of them were saying it different slightly every time, too. Like, no one in the episode said it the same way.
Yeah. So Chinese it's okay, is a hard language. It's
it's okay that we're messing it up.
I give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
We're trying.
So she ends up going on this adventure with these guys, and they're not the nicest of people. They treat her very badly, these townspeople, and she ends up saying that they can find this beast in a lake, when in fact she knows from her books that you can find it in a mountain. So they kick her off, and and she goes off on this quest alone. I don't know about you guys, but I thought that was pretty ballsy.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a very courageous thing for her to do.
Well, that's something about Belle, though. She is so courageous, and she has a lot of strength. She seems fearless. After everything that's happened to her, being captured, being at gunpoint, everything, she's just like, nah, I'm gonna roll with this. I'm going to protect this person. Strong character.
Yeah, and we saw her get attacked several times in tonight's episode, whether it was by, you know, the mean townspeople or the demon or, I mean, Hook, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, and she doesn't even seem to be really scared of him.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I feel like she's very, she surprises me a lot, her character, because, you know, just when you think that she's, like, this weak, you know, naive girl, she, like, jumps out and she's fierce.
Yeah, completely agree.
Yeah, because you kind of I always think of Belle as like the nerdy princess because she's so into her books and reading and stuff, and she's actually one of those girls who reads the books and then it's like, you know what, I want to be like these people that I'm reading about and like go out there and get my adventure and be fearless. So I like that we got to see that side of her, and I like how they have the correlations between both stories of her kind of going off on her own into trouble, which I was like freaking out about. Right, like, you don't do that alone, girlfriend. You always have a buddy system. Work out. But you know, it was good to see her kind of standing her own ground in that way.
And who does she meet when she goes after this demon but Mulan.
Another strong woman.
Which is just, I feel like all these stories are finally intertwining, which is amazing because we see how everyone's met up in the old Enchanted Forest. And now we're getting these characters that were just introduced this season to kind of interact with some of our favorites from the first season.
And I like that Belle, being someone who, like, Snow did not know in the old Enchanted Forest, knew Mulan, who no one really knows, and, you know, that Snow met Mulan just this time back around. It's like, oh, small world, like, 3 degrees of separation and stuff.
Right, and Belle knew Dreamy.
Yeah, knew Dreamy.
It's like that Disney ride. It's a small world after all.
Exactly. It was like, I was sitting there, and I was like, wow, someone really had to think about this when they were doing this months ago, because my mind's just catching up. And to have all of those little points, like when Belle meets Dreamy, who thought 2 seconds more after that episode aired, like, oh, that's going to come back to be something of importance one day. I forgot that they had that interaction until they were talking about it in the bar. And I was like, oh yeah, she did. She is the one who kind of encouraged him to go for it when he was still Dreamy. And I don't know. I thought that was really cool.
Well like played, Kitsis. Yeah,
well played, sir.
So Mulan kind of pushes Belle away because she's been tracking this demon for weeks. I think. Weeks. And she's kind of pissed off because our homegirl Belle found her in a matter of hours, or found the demon in a matter of hours. But it ends up that the two princesses team up, and they are going to track the Yao Guai. The only problem is Mulan's leg is hurt because the second time she saves Belle in the episode from the townspeople, she, you know, gets in this brawl, and now she has a bloody leg. But they team up, and they go on this trek together, which is just another, you know, great, play for the writers, how they're including everyone in this story and kind of intertwining it. So Mulan is hurt, and she ends up saying to Belle that Belle is the one that has to kill this demon. What did you guys think of that?
Yeah.
That was kind of... Melissa called it, you know, sitting next to her. She knew what's up.
The thing I find interesting is that you see Mulan, she's such an independent person, and then Mulan having the guts to go to Belle, be like, I do need your help so we can take down this Yao Guai.
We've never seen her vulnerable before. Yeah.
And for her to admit defeat, be like, no, I can't do this, you have to.
Yeah.
I thought that was maybe, like, this character growth within Mulan. And also an opportunity for Belle to grow as well.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, Belle growing, because Mulan was saying, like, something along the lines of, you need to be strong, blah, 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 and that carried over into present day Belle.
I liked Mulan's little pep talk for her. You know, she was
I know,
like,
I need a Mulan in my life.
Yeah, I mean, if you had someone right by your side telling you that, like, every time you're like, man, I can't finish this workout, like, I can't finish this last little 2 minutes, and you have Mulan right there, like, you have to do it. It's for the greater good.
That's perfect workout system right there.
Right.
It's like, yes, I can do anything.
Well, she guilt tripped her. She was like, this is my town. Like, they need to be saved.
And warrior spirit.
Warrior spirit.
Yeah. So Belle goes off and defeats this demon by herself by pouring some water on it to put out its flames. And the demon writes, save me on the ground. So Belle throws some of the fairy dust that she got from Dreamy/Grumpy on the demon, and it's revealed that it's Prince Philip.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I was so happy.
I died.
That was awesome.
I mean, I'm so happy to see him back. I know you guys are too. But this was really cool. As I've been saying this entire episode, to see how all the stories intertwine. We saw at the very beginning of this season, I think it was episode 1, Mulan and Prince Philip teaming up to go find Aurora. Mulan kind of has a crush on Philip, and this is the first time they meet.
Thanks to Belle.
Thanks to Belle. So when Aurora meets Belle, she can be like, you know what? You should not have introduced my man to that girl, because now I got drama.
Yeah.
I had him first.
I've always said that so many of the actresses in this in this series look like one another. And I feel like Belle and Aurora look so similar.
They do. They could be sisters. I think so.
A lot of them. I mean, if Jennifer Goodwin didn't have, like, that short of a haircut, she would look like all of them. Ruby looks like all of them. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I see it a lot with Belle and Aurora. Because sometimes with, like, those quick little shots of I'm almost like, wait, which one was that?
Yeah. They all have long, dark hair. Mm-hmm. I think even one of our listeners said that they were confused last week because the blue fairy, when she was going to trap Regina, looked exactly like Korra.
Yeah.
We got confused with that, too. Yeah.
So, I mean, so many of the actresses just look similar. I think it's all, you know, with the exception of Cinderella, I feel like all of them have long, dark hair.
Must be that Canadian water they're drinking up there in Vancouver. I don't know.
I think maybe it's just, you know, like the people you hang out with all the time, you start looking alike.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. They say that about old couples.
Birds of a feather.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Or people with dogs.
Yeah, they look like their dog.
Yeah, they look like your dog.
Dog and pets. Dog and owners.
That's, there you go.
Yeah. So Prince Philip gives a little bit of backstory as to why he was a demon, which was completely unexpected. he said that Maleficent exiled him to this land and turned him into a monster because she would stop at nothing to, you know, split him up from Aurora, which is kind of paralleling Regina and trying to split up Snow and Charming. Did anyone else see that?
Yeah,
I get that. Yeah. There's a lot of similarities between Snow White's story and Aurora's story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why they would parallelize it, because we might just understand it better.
Yeah, and we've seen Regina and Maleficent go head-to-head before. And, I mean, you're always going to be enemies with the people that are most similar to you.
Right,
at least girls. It's some girl-on-girl fighting.
Her Maleficent probably bonded over the fact that they both had these problem children in their lives and then also, like, fought each other about those same children.
Yeah.
Because for the curse and everything.
Literally fought.
Yeah, like, literally fought and trapped each other.
Mm-hmm.
Such good friends, you know? They're hard to come by, and that's a good friendship right there.
Mm-hmm.
Sarcasm.
So, after Belle unites, or, you know, puts together the team of Mulan and Philip, she says, "I'm coming back, Rumpel." She wants to go back to him because she loves him. Silly girl.
I love that she doesn't give up on him. You know, I think that's really important, and that's really rare to find in relationships in real life nowadays, too.
True. <know? laughs>
So sad.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But true love prevails.
Yeah.
In all fairy tale stories, if you think about it.
Yeah. But she gets captured.
Until Regina comes.
Yeah. Regina, splitting up couples left and right. Ultimate cock block. So she captures Belle, and she's bringing us back kind of to a couple episodes where we saw, you know, Belle locked in a tower. Hook tries to find her and says, "Tell me how to kill Rumpelstiltskin." She's like, "No, I love him." And that is that.
And she's and I love that she was screaming and fighting, "No, I'll fight for him. I'll always fight for him."
Right.
And Marissa and I kind of looked at each other, like, it reminded us of Snow and Charming's thing, like, "I'll always find you."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Belle is saying, "I'll always fight for him." And then she's fighting for him in Storybrooke, again, you know, going off on her own, doing stupid things that girls shouldn't do by themselves. And
but we do a lot of stupid things for love.
You do whatever you can for love, for true love, to make that person
a
better person.
It's actually made me like Belle's character a lot more this episode.
Yeah. I loved getting to know more about her so that I could like her.
Yeah.
More.
And I like how smart she is, too. Mm-hmm. I love that she's an intellect and she's a warrior as well. I love it. She's a good catch. Rumpel.
Yeah. He doesn't deserve her.
No, he doesn't.
But getting to Rumpel, this whole episode was about, I think the biggest thing was crossing the line of Storybrooke and going into the rest of the world. And, you know, so many of the characters, we already talked about how they were worried that people were going to come in while Rumpel was trying to figure out a way out so he could go find Bay. So at the very beginning of the episode, we see that he pushes Smee over the line. He's concocted this potion that allows you to put it on the thing that is most valuable to you, the thing that you hold most dear. And if you're wearing that or holding on to it, you can cross the line and retain your memory, which is ridiculous.
But that's smart, though. Like,
yeah.
And and that just adds a element of sentiment to it. I'm sorry. I'm not feeling too well right now. But, like, I liked how I thought, honestly, it was going to be Rumple's dagger. Because that's the source of his power, that, like, magic and power means everything to him.
And Hook brought that up multiple times. He said to Belle a couple episodes, is the dagger the thing that he's, you know, holds most dear? Or he said that to Archie as well.
Yeah, Archie kind of blew it. I don't know. I don't know. I was confused if Archie told him about Belle being there or if it was about... Because how would anyone know about Bay's shawl? Was my question. Because I felt like that was something that Rumple wouldn't, like, go around advertising that he still had. So it's like, how'd you know to go steal that? I mean, I guess Archie knows everything because he's a therapist. But I was just a little, I was a little thrown off by that bit that, like, they knew about the shawl.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just me.
Maybe they knew something about Rumple wanting to find Bay and anything that would connect Bay to Rumple.
Yeah.
They're in finding the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. I wanted his object that he held dearest to him, I wanted it to be Belle, just to prove that, like, he is a different person and him be like, oh, yeah, I have to put this on the thing I hold most dear to me. And then, like, he pours it on her and then they could, like, cross the line together. I thought that would have been very corny, but very cute at the same time. Like, I am a different person.
Yeah. It was sweet, though, that he did still care about his son and just proving that he was going to take these risks to find him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like Hook knows a lot more about Bay than we know that he knows, obviously.
Yeah.
Maybe Bay's Peter Pan.
You know, he's like,
I've been thinking that.
I know. But I mean, well, when Hook was like, I'm doing that boy a favor, it's like, what do you know?
You know that boy. Yeah. Sounds like it. Or maybe they're just leading us to believe that. I don't know. So Hook ends up attacking Belle in the library. And traps her in an elevator, all to lure Rumple out of his shop so he can steal Bay's shawl, because he somehow learned that this is the thing that Rumple holds most dear. And during this interaction, once Rumple saves Belle, he kind of tells a little bit of the story of him and his ex-wife Mila. But he leaves out an important detail, that is, that he killed her.
Yeah.
Might be an important thing to tell your new girlfriend.
I don't know. I mean, if I killed someone, I don't know if I could tell them off the bat. It would take a little thought processes and conversations to reach that
honey,
point.
Don't ever leave me for anyone else because I will take out your heart and crush it.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically
it. Well, Mila was a witch, though, to be fair.
She was evil.
Yes and no. I don't think she deserved that.
No.
By any means.
Well, neither did Rumple.
Well, cheating is immoral, but it's not illegal. <I'll say> it. But I think
not punishable by death.
Yes, that's true. But Rumple, I think Rumple didn't mention that little factoid to Belle because maybe he just wanted Belle to believe that he really is a good person. He's like, that was me in the past. This is me in the present day. I'm a better person.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know.
But by keeping it from her and her finding, I mean, because it's like one of those secrets where eventually she will find out the truth. Wouldn't you want to be the one to tell her as opposed to her hearing from other people?
I think it just wasn't the time. They were like at a door. He was on his way somewhere. It's like, yo, this is not the moment, girl. I'll talk to you about it later.
They were outside in the street.
Yeah. It was like,
not going to confess to that one in public.
Yeah. I'm wondering who in Storybrooke knows that story.
I feel like it happened.
It happened so long ago.
Because my theory being of Bay being Peter Pan and them going off to Neverland, and that's why they're so young still. Rumpelstiltskin is like over 300 years old, according to one of the timelines that I've read. So I feel like no one in Storybrooke is also that old to have known how he became like the Dark One and, you know, all this stuff that happened to him in the past.
So Hook really is the only one that knows.
Yeah, Hook's
and Cora, maybe.
And Smee.
And Smee.
And Smee. Yeah, that's how I look at it, just because that helps my theory so much. But, I mean, it could turn out to be something different completely.
Yeah. So Rumpel gives Belle a gun so that she can protect herself from Hook, which backfires, literally.
I get it. Five seconds later, Tiana gets the joke.
So Belle finds this random knot in Rumpel's store, which is completely torn apart, which makes me wonder, why was Hook carrying around a knot?
Because he's a pirate. That's what they do.
But, I mean, that large of a thing. It was just very off for me.
No, I thought so, too. I was like, what is that?
It was very smart to have her look in a book, find which knot it was, and be like, oh, a ship. You know, a ship must be here. That's how Hook came over. So she goes on a search for this ship. And during that time, Rumpel finds Smee and confronts him with magic, starts choking him, and then turns him into what he says he is, which is a rat. Too harsh? Not harsh enough?
Him actually turning Smee into a rat was harsh. Scurry away.
Scurry away.
I feel for Rumpel because, you know, he felt betrayed and he saved his life. And so he's like, I'm still going to save your life. You're just a rat. And that's what you will be.
Well, for Hook at this point, it's all about revenge. And, I mean, Rumpel, I don't know if he's genuine yet or not, but all he's trying to do is find his son. Is it possible that Rumpel could find his son and then just be at peace? Like, he wouldn't want to hurt Hook any further? Or,
well, I think Rumpel completely forgot about Hook until Hook came back to Storybrooke, came to Storybrooke for the first time.
Well, he didn't think that he was there. Yeah, I don't think he ever forgot about him. He just didn't think that he was there or had any means of getting here.
I just don't think he kind of cared about him. Like, through the two seasons up to this point, Rumpel has not mentioned, oh, I had this arch nemesis back in the day. His name's Hook. Like, he was not afraid of him until this very moment.
Because I think also, Rumpel kind of felt like he won that last standoff that they had. You know, he won, so now it's like, I don't really have to go after him. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything else to go after him for because I already got him back for...
We're even
for him taking my wife away from me. But now that Hook didn't feel like they were even, you know, he wants the revenge. So Hook sought him out for revenge, and now...
That's the way of vengeance.
It's like eye for an eye. I don't know, like...
Yeah. Girlfriend for a girlfriend. Yeah.
Girlfriend for a girlfriend.
As sad as that is. So Belle ends up finding this invisible ship somehow because she sees the seagulls, I guess, on top of the ship.
Oh, yeah. They landed on top and were, like, just sitting in
midair.
How the seagulls knew that the ship was there, I don't know.
Well, I mean...
Animals have that extra instinct,
they're like,
you know?
I sense where they just I'm just going to sit
seagulls,
here.
I don't think, have the sonar radar or whatever it's called, but...
Oh, my gosh. Seagulls. Little Mermaid.
True.
Again, I think of that every time I see seagulls.
Scuttle.
Dingle just more Hopper. Clues. So Belle walks onto this boat, which I would have been so scared of, that, like, you're going to keep walking and then just plummet into the water. But she is fearless, and she ends up finding Archie in the bottom of the boat. And she says, you know, get out of here. Like, I'm only one of us is going to make it, essentially, because someone's upstairs. And so he runs off very slowly. And
took him 40 minutes to make it to someone.
We were joking about that during the entire episode, how long it took him to get from the ship to Emma's front door.
He had to stop to let Rumpel know where Belle was. But, I mean, after that, the town's not that big, right, from what we've seen. Why is it taking Archie so long to get to anyone right now?
now.
So that people know he's alive.
Yeah. We could have been like, hey, Rumpel, can I borrow your cell phone for a second? Yeah.
Can I make a couple phone calls? People might be looking for me.
Yeah, you know. Regina might be in trouble.
Yeah.
Another thing, I found it weird seeing Rumpel on a cell phone.
Yeah, and it was an old phone, too.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen him on a cell phone, though? I was like,
no.
No.
I feel like, I mean, we always equate this to Harry Potter, and the wizards never use any muggle things. I just find it weird. Like, as you're saying, that they're using, you know, everyday items, like a cell phone or, you know.
A handgun.
Yeah, the handgun was weird, too.
Handgun I can see because they've had guns in Enchanted Forest. Yeah. But... Or have they?
But he has, like, in magic. Forest, what does he need handgun for? Magic is so much cooler and better and scarier and frightening.
I don't know if I've seen guns in the forest now that I think about it. We've seen a lot of, like, archery.
He had to teach Belle how to use the gun. Yeah. He was like, pull this thing here all the way and, you know, it'll take care of the rest for you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if...
Weird.
Well, I've seen a lot of bows and arrows.
That's something to think about. If any of you guys at home have seen guns, please fill us in and let us know because we are lost right now. Hook ends up finding Belle when she is looking for this cape or cloak. And, of course, she has her gun down on the counter at that exact moment. I would have not taken my finger off the trigger if you knew that he was there. And Hook ends up pointing the gun at her. Doesn't shoot her. Yet. But points the gun at her and tells her the true story of what really happened to Mila, Rumpel's ex-wife, and how Rumpel was the one that actually killed her. So...
I love that she said that still didn't matter to her, that she still believed that he was a changed person.
Love
and,
it.
You know, she stood by her man despite hearing, like, possibly the worst news you could hear about someone that you're in love with, that they killed their ex-wife. But, you know, she stood by him and believed that he can change. And that made me question why everyone's so quick to think that Regina couldn't change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's Belle who's sticking by Rumpelstiltskin of all people, you know, who's masterminded everything that's happened to these people. She's still sticking by him. And last week we saw how, like, Emma was trying to stick by Regina. Yeah. And then as soon as, you know, like, one thing happens, like, everyone just writes her off. Nope, she can't be changed. Nope, she'll always be the same.
The difference is true love.
Yeah.
Belle is truly in love with Rumpel. You know, I feel like the reason why she's sticking up for him so much is true love. Like, you can't leave that person. You can't, you know... You are always going to side with that person. And Regina doesn't have that person anymore. I don't know. I mean, she had, what's his face?
Daniel.
Yeah. And
she would have had her dad if she hadn't taken his heart.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough for her.
It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
She wants some Daniel.
But, yeah. I mean, we also see true love with Hook and Mila. Like, he said the reason why he didn't burn the cloak immediately was because Mila was the one that made it. And that was one of the few things that he could remember her by. So we're seeing this, like, constant
thing of
true love. Yeah.
Ugh. gosh.
So, you know... Hook tries to tell her, Rumpel will do anything to keep his power. You have no idea what this man is capable of. You are blinded by your true love. And she says, you know, his heart is true, yours is not.
That was true. Well, in that moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Rumpel's heart is true to certain people. It's true to Bay and it's true to Belle, but it's not true... all the time.
Yeah.
To everyone.
He's just so deep into everything is for himself.
Yeah.
That it just gets lost in his mind. Like, the only time that he's helpful for other people is when it benefits him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is the mastermind behind this whole curse.
Everything.
Everything benefited him.
I like him.
So that he could find Bay.
I like him.
You
do?
No, that was just funny how you said it. Sorry.
Yeah, I like him.
I felt for him at the end of the episode. Yeah. I will say that.
I think we all did.
Yeah. But Rumpel ends up having another fight with Hook. And he's, like, whipping him with this crowbar cane thing. Yeah. And,
That was funny. That was cool. That made me think, man, Captain Hook's kind of weak sauce because he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm taking it. I'm taking it. Yeah.
But Captain Hook was egging him on.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, totally. Come on.
That's all, like, that's what wusses do, though. They just egg on. They don't hit. So, just saying. Not that I've been in a fight.
Not that you're the one egging anyone on.
But flash forward to the very end of the episode, the most intense 5 minutes that we've gotten in a while. Rumple enchants the cloak that Belle escaped with and crosses the line. Right as he does, Hook shoots Belle in the back, and Belle goes over the line with that shot, loses all of her memory. And
who's Belle?
Oh my gosh. Heartbroken.
There's got to be a remedy for that.
There has to be. And so, I don't know. I was listening to the official podcast last week, and someone said on there, because they were asking if Regina could cross the line, and they said that because she created the curse and didn't have an alternate identity in Storybrooke, that she could cross the line if she wanted to, and maybe she has before. So my thought is, Belle was trapped for all these years in Storybrooke. She never had an alternate identity here. So what did she forget? You know, like, because it was supposed to...
But Belle was in Fairytaleland,
Yeah, too. She was in Fairytaleland, too, so...
Did she have an alternate identity? I thought she was just kind of, like, trapped in that, you know, insane asylum.
Yeah,
and
no
she
one
just,
saw her, and no one knew...
But was she Belle, or was she, like... girl that was trapped in an insane asylum, like,
you but the only person who knew she was there was Regina and, like, the one nurse who guarded the door.
But so I feel like if she was Belle in that situation, she would be like, no, like, I'm a princess, let me out of here. And, like, yeah, people would think that was crazy, but someone might go around and be like, oh, this girl thinks she's a princess from this place called Enchanted Forest. How funny is that?
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering what her memories will be now, because she's forgotten who Belle is, if she didn't have, like, that Storybrooke identity where people knew her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's she going to be now?
Yeah. So. Just
an unidentified girl.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know who she is.
Jane Doe.
Yeah, Jane Doe. Have another one of those.
Now, Hook thinks that he and Rumple are even because they've both lost something and it cannot be undone. So Rumple is about to kill Hook with a fireball, magic fireball, when all of a sudden a car comes out of nowhere. And this is the title of the episode, The Outsider. Hits Hook. Hook goes over the car. And now we are left wondering, who the heck is this dude in the car that can't drive?
Maybe he was drunk. I don't know. But it was dark and Hook's wearing all black. Maybe he just didn't see him. But it was kind of not funny, but it was kind of a sad way after, like, you know, he thinks he's won and he's like, yeah, ha ha ha. And then boom, you get hit by a car.
We already think it's this big ending with like Belle getting shot. And then all of a sudden you're like literally hit by a car and you're like, what just happened?
No, I love there was, like, so many emotional upheavals in the last few minutes, because when Rumple crossed the line, there was literally, like, 5 seconds where it was just dead silence. Our hearts skipped a beat. We're like, oh, my God, does he remember? And then he does, and then we have Belle getting shot, and then this guy crashing. It's just, like, all these literally crazy emotions all in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Intense episode. Last 5 minutes got me hooked, I was going to say, and then I realized that was silly. But, yeah, so I guess
we'll see who this outsider turns out to be, because that'll be interesting, like, how 28 years of being here. Does outsider know that he was coming to this place?
Is it Neil? No, it didn't look like Neil.
Who is the outsider?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move right along to news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so this is just a funny story. Jennifer Goodwin was on Jimmy Fallon last week, and turns out she lived in London for a while, where she attended clown school. Yes, homegirl went to clown school, and get this, she got asked not to come back to any more classes, so she got kicked out of clown school.
That's so sad.
She said that apparently she thought it was going to be, you know, all fun and games, like, how many people can we fit in a car? And apparently clown school is a very, very serious thing, and they take it very seriously, and she was kind of not taking it that seriously, so her teacher was
kicked out of clown school for not being serious enough.
Well, her teacher told her she was the worst clown ever.
All the irony.
Just
right?
Everything that goes from there.
How do they kick you out? They, like, spray you with a flower water or something? Like,
you get chased out by all these mini clowns, like, running after you. Yeah, I don't know. She was just asked not to continue her studies in clown school. So I thought that was fun. And a couple weeks ago, she was on Love You Mean It on E! And she apparently was forced to take a breathalyzer test in Vancouver. And she wasn't drunk. She had to take it because she parked bad at a meter.
So she's bad at being a clown and bad at parallel parking.
She can't park, apparently, and so the officer made her take a breathalyzer when she, like, came out of the store.
Oh.
I was like, oh, Canada, you're so nice. You know, like, person's already made it to their destination, even if they were drunk, right. Like, they already made it there safely.
More people should take breathalyzer tests here, then.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah, L.A.
Terrible.
Headache. Okay, and so, Edward Kitsis and Adam Horowitz did an interview with Collider.com, and they were talking about, oh, this is actually kind of a spoiler alert, so don't listen if you don't want to be spoiled.
Spoiler alert!
A little bit of what we saw tonight. He said that Rumple will be collecting that favor from Emma in coming episodes this season. So I don't know if that's maybe going to have to do with going to find Bay, or if it has something, now we know that Belle doesn't have a memory, so maybe it's something along those lines. But I was like, that favor, I always come back to that in my head. I always forget about it, and then I remember, and I'm like, what kind of, like,
all
what
magic
favor
comes
is he
with
a
price, dear.
Yeah, and now he knows that she has magic, so.
Or maybe, like, just have Emma help him in finding Bay, because she can cross the line, too. So maybe just, like, dragging her along.
And she's really good at, I mean, she was kind of a tracker, you know, she was a
she can find
bounty
people.
Hunter, so
yeah, she can
possibly help him find Bay. Yeah, so that was pretty much that. Oh yeah, they also said that they have the power, they can kill anyone off. I think
don't
they just kind
of do it.
Yeah, so
do it.
They're like, they're still getting death threats from killing off Sheriff Graham.
Oh, as they should.
Yeah,
I'm
as they should.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, almost rightfully so. But they're just kind of saying, you know, like, you never know. No one's ever really safe. Even though, you know, we saw that Archie was fine right now. Like, you never know what could come back around and happen to anyone at any time, even if it's a main character. So.
Crazy.
That would be sad.
No one's safe.
And then in casting news, Rena Sofer from General Hospital has been cast as Snow White's mom. So we're finally going to meet Queen either Eva or Eva.
This is something. Okay, so last week I know you mentioned the Queen is Dead episode, and we were all thinking it's either Cora or Regina. This, I think it's going to be Snow White's mom.
Yeah, because for the episode, it's also going to feature Bailey Madison as young Snow. It's going to air in early March, and all they're saying right now is that she has some sort of surprising connection to someone that we already know, and that her death is going to be very interesting. Like, the journey to her death will be very interesting. So the person who we already know, I'm thinking either Rumple or Cora, just because Regina was kind of so nicely placed in there to fill
in. I can see
for,
Cora,
yeah. Like, where
she
Cora,
kills off the queen so that her daughter can.
Yeah.
She already orchestrated Regina saving young Snow.
Young Snow, so why not?
It's the mothers.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, I read somewhere else that it might be a two-part episode, but as of right now, she's only signed on to do one episode, but there could be more coming from Snow's mom. So I was like, well, at least we'll get the backstory of that and kind of see how Snow became Snow.
Yeah. That's some good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is that all the news for today?
That's all the news for today.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in. Awesome. So let's move right on to predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
There's always so many things to predict with this series. Like, who is the guy that's in the car? Will Belle survive? What does she know or what does she remember, if anything?
What's in the box?
Still, what's in the box? Kitsis and Horowitz said that we would find out what's in the box soon, and...
Still
if soon doesn't mean 2 weeks into the new year, then I don't know what they meant. Yeah.
So I feel like we've already said a couple of our predictions, but what about, what do you think is going to go down next episode? We saw a little bit of the previews, but...
Something Frankenstein-y, obviously.
Yeah.
Of something, someone being revived from the dead, perhaps.
But I think that has to go with someone's heart. And I was thinking, like, last week, what if Cora's heart... is in Regina.
Huh.
Well, but then where would Regina's heart be?
Yeah, yeah, Regina took out her heart and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's not like, what if... Because the two people you wouldn't dare ripping out hearts, Cora and Regina. So what if Cora put her heart in Regina, but then where is Regina's heart?
Yeah.
Mm. And there's obviously going to be like some kind of... dialogue between Cora and Regina. So I'm wondering, will Regina know that her mother framed her right on time to not turn? Like, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be too late? So, poor Regina.
So I don't even know.
I'm going to predict that Frankenstein's brother gets revived because I think I saw that in the preview. It's a safe one.
Yeah.
No, but for the stranger who's coming in, this mysterious guy, I don't know what his deal will be, but I hope that he's someone who's not connected to magic or the magical world at all, and he actually is just, like, an outsider coming in, which is what they feared would happen.
Because
I think that would be kind of cool to see, you know, just regular people reacting to what Storybrooke is and if they even believe, you know, like, yeah, right, you're Snow White.
That's something they've been worried about the entire time. I think that it is actually going to be someone, not magical, but someone that is already connected to the story somehow, because I don't think they would write in a random person unless, you know, someone's going to kill him right away. But I think that whoever this is will have the power to come in and out of Storybrooke, and that Rumple may try to use that to his advantage.
Yeah. So but now is Rumple's focus going to be to get out to find Bay still, or is it going to be to figure out how to help Belle remember who she is?
Both.
Both.
Because you can't.
He's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, unless this guy coming in is Bay. Who knows?
He looks too big to be Bay.
But
how about Bay grew up?
Yeah. Bay could have gone to Neverland and then went somewhere else and grown up.
And got stuck out here for 28 years and actually grew up. Got really hot.
Rumple having a kid like that, man.
At least they're not going to be the same age like Emma and Snow.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, unfortunately, Sarah Bolger was not able to make it in this week. We are going to reschedule. She was at the Golden Globes, which is a good excuse, but she's really excited to come in. We are going to have another guest next week as well, so we're going to try to book as many guests as we can for the rest of the season, because we're always interested in hearing insider information. but in the meantime, if you guys want to carry on the conversation, please do so. You can find us at Twitter. You can find all of us on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. Find me on Twitter at Katherine Kelly.
I'm at TweetT22, TweeTee22.
I am at SerafiniTV.
And I'm at Corius. You can also catch me on Wide on Rice Sundays and Tuesdays. Follow me on Twitter and you'll find out more.
Well, for all of us here at AfterBuzz TV, thank you for tuning in, and make sure to catch another after show of Once Upon a Time next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.